Her voice died away, and Hawser felt her shake her head on his arm. "Isn't one of the ring regulars?" he said. "Galsel." Now Hawser could feel the light, short-haired head nod against the skin of his arm. Yeah, he'll be there, if he possibly can be. He'd burn out the motors on the leading edge to get to a major damage game, and the way things have been hotting up in this neck of the woods recently, presenting all those wonderful easy-in, easy-out opportunities, I can't imagine him being far away. Yalson's voice sounded bitter. "Myself? I think Galsel's the subject of Craiglin's wet dreams. Thinks the guy's a fucking hero. Shit." "Yalson?" Hawser said into the woman's ear, her hair tickling his nose. "One, how does Craiglin have wet dreams if he doesn't sleep? And two, what if he has these cabins bugged?" Her head turned towards him quickly. "So fucking what? I'm not afraid of him. He knows I'm one of the most reliable people he's got. I shoot straight and I don't fill my pants when it starts getting hot. I also think Craiglin's the best excuse for a leader we've got on the ship or are likely to get, and he knows that. Don't you worry about me. Anyway." He felt her shoulders and head move again and knew she was looking at him. "You'd settle it up if I got shot in the back, wouldn't you?" The thought had never occurred to him. "Wouldn't you?" she repeated. "Well, of course I would," he said. She didn't move. He could hear her breathing. "You would, wouldn't you?" Yalson said. He brought his arms up and took her by the shoulders. She was warm. The down on her skin was soft, and the muscles and flesh underneath over her slim frame were strong and firm. "Yes, I would," he said, and only then realized that he meant it. It was during this time, between Marjorin and Vavach, that the Changer found out what he wanted to know about the controls and fidelities of the clear air turbulence. Craiglin wore an identity ring on the small finger of his right hand, and some of the locks in the cat would work only in the presence of that ring's electronic signature. The control of the ship depended on an audiovisual identity link. Craiglin's face was recognized by the craft's computer, as was his voice when he said, "This is Craiglin." It was that simple. The ship had once had a retina recognition lock as well, but it had malfunctioned long before and been removed. Hawser was pleased. Copying somebody's retina pattern was a delicate and tricky operation, requiring, among a lot of other things, the careful growth of lasing cells around the iris. It almost made more sense to go for a total genetic transcription, where the subject's own DNA became the model for a virus which left only the changer's brain, and optionally gonads, unaltered. That wouldn't be necessary to impersonate Captain Craiglin, however. Hawser found out about the ship's fidelities when he asked the man for a lesson on how to fly the vessel. Craiglin had been reluctant at first, but Hawser had not pressed him and had answered a few of Craiglin's apparently casual questions about computers which followed this request with feigned ignorance. Seemingly convinced that teaching Hawser how to fly the cat would not carry the risk of him taking over the ship, Craiglin relented and allowed Hawser to practice piloting the craft on manual using the rather crude controls in simulator mode under MIPS instruction while the craft went on its way through space toward Vavach on autopilot. "This is Craiglin," the ship PA announced to the mess, a few hours after they ran through the culture transmission, warning of the orbital's destruction. They were sitting around after a meal, drinking or inhaling, relaxing or, in Doralo's case, making the circle of flame sign on her forehead and saying the prayer of thanks. The big orbital was still on the mess screen and had grown much larger, almost filling it with its inner surface daylight side, but everybody had grown a little blasé about it and now gave it only the occasional glance. All the remaining company were there, save for Lenny Pobra and Craiglin himself. They looked at each other or the PA speaker when Craiglin spoke.
"I've got a job for us, something I just had confirmed. Wapslin, you get the shuttle ready. I'll meet the rest of you in the hangar in 3 ship hours. Suit it up, team. And don't worry, this time there'll be no hostiles. This time it really is, you know what. In and out."
The speaker crackled and then went silent. Hawser and Yalson exchanged looks.
"So," Jandrelligelli said, leaning back in his chair and putting his hands behind his neck.
The scar marks on his face deepened slightly as he put on an expression of thoughtfulness.
"Our esteemed leader has again found us something to employ our slight talents."
"Better not be another fucking temple," Lamb growled, scratching the small horn grafts where they joined his head.
"How are you going to find a temple on Vavach?
Nysin said. He was slightly drunk, talking more than he normally did when with the others. Lam turned his face toward the smaller man, a few seats away and on the other side of the table.
You'd better just sober up, friend, he said.